Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to a brand new edition of Battle Red Radio, blaring all over the Spotify podcasting world. This is, and the Battle Red blog. This is Corey DLG, and with me as usual is little brother Nico.
That's me, producer.
That is, you are the producer, the captain of the audio airwaves. How does that make you sound?
I mean, it makes me sound like a pirate, and I'm okay with that.
Okay. I will let you know, I recently watched a Chelsea Handler special, and she feels like if you wear a captain's hat, that she has permission to hate you. So, careful with the captain thing. Don't take it too far.
I've seen it once before.
We lived it once before. So, there's a lot going on in the NFL. Some of it feels not football-related, although it clearly is. Some of it is complicated. And then also, there's, you know, still football as regularly scheduled next week. So, let's get into a difficult episode of, the Battle Red Radio. Obviously, the first thing everyone is addressing and talking about and acknowledging and speaking on is the crazy, the horrific, the scary, really, injury to Damar Hamlin. It was a very sudden and innocent play. It didn't look, not innocuous. It looked very much like a regular NFL play. And then he just kind of falls over, and that's it. Like, they spend the next 15, 20 minutes working on the guy, and then they get him in the ambulance, and they get him to a hospital. Apparently, they had to resuscitate him twice between when he fell and before they got to the hospital. I don't know. I know at least one of those was apparently on the field, allegedly, and I don't have, like, EMTs swearing to that, so gentle with your belief there. Amongst the boys chat, talking to the boys as it happened, at first we were all like, man, that's crazy scary, and then we started talking about what could it be, and then we started talking about, like, obviously a sudden blow to the chest could probably kind of do this, and that's sort of what we all settled on. Then we started having a conversation, like, what's going to happen next? And Skip Bayless made a public statement that while he is getting murdered for it, and I can see the insensitivity to it, I don't necessarily know that he is wrong. I was sort of kind of the same page of like, what does the NFL, what do they do about this? Not necessarily like you have to play right now or something, but it was the last game of week 17, week 18. The last week of the season always ends on Sunday, so every team has the same amount of days to prepare for the playoff football games. So there's no window, really, to insert this game, and this game has, unfortunately, a ton of playoff implications. They're the 2 and 3 seed, and they're 1 win apart. So no matter what happens week 17... this game is going to be important unless both of them lose. So, like, I'm not. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to unpack. I don't know. Where do you want to kind of, what do you want to say first? And then we can kind of spiral it a little bit.
Well, at first, I want to say we need to stop talking because we literally said, like, an episode ago that, like, the NFL is going to have to do something serious or someone's going to get hurt.
I did. I literally said, God forbid they take someone off the field in a stretcher. I did. I said that literally Friday's episode. This is what we've been talking, like, all season we've been talking about player safety and these scary, scary moments. And I know that these aren't, what happened Monday was not concussion related. I understand that. However, there's clearly, unless they find out it was, like, kind of a unique situation, if they find out he has, like, a heart condition or something, they need to be doing a better job of medically monitoring these players throughout the season, right? Like, I mean, shouldn't part of the rest and recovery be testing things like the heart and the brain at this point? I don't know. I'm just sort of, I'm very surprised.
I mean, if you want to, if you want to take a step back from that, literally what happened to J.J. Watt, that's probably the reason he's retiring. I'm sure this just reinforces that decision all the more.
Yeah, the J.J. Watt thing too. Like, I was thinking about that when this happened too. They're like, they're talking about, you know, they're not going to play anymore. They're not sure what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. They're kind of walking off the field. And I was like, J.J. Watt literally had his heart stopped and restarted on a Thursday and played on Sunday.
Yeah.
Not that that's, you know, advisable.
Not that that would be what we call a good idea.
Not at all. The latest news that I'm reading, this is as of Tuesday night when we record. And we record late so that this broadcast bright and early Wednesday morning with the latest news we can give you. DeMar Hamlin's uncle is speaking and saying that DeMar Hamlin is fighting and that the family is grateful for the support and that he's in really good hands. And they want to express their sincere gratitude for the love and support that's been shown to DeMar. I think roughly $5 million has been donated to his children's toy drive charity, which was kind of a neat show of love. He's still at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, and they're doing their best to kind of take care of him and get him back. But I don't know.
We hope for a speedy recovery. I mean, this is just a really
well. Let's first hope for a recovery. I mean, yeah.
I guess to be fair, it doesn't have to be fast. It could take him years, but
yeah. As of right now, I believe they still have him in a medicated coma, and they're still trying to see what his body does. They have. You know, in situations like this, when they don't know the cause of the problem, unless they do and they just haven't said, which is a very distinct possibility. We're not doctors, and it's not really our business. But if they are unsure of what caused it, they may be afraid to bring him out of it until they've kind of checked a lot of things. So, I don't know. It's a really scary situation because basically you watch a perfectly good, healthy athlete fall over. And essentially die on the field. And that's a really scary thought. I do want to make this comment, and we don't do politics on this show, but I saw the anti-vaccine crowd creeping in about blood clots. I haven't seen or heard any precedent of athletes dropping dead because of vaccinations.
Right.
I haven't seen any data on that. I haven't seen any group of scientific information about that. So when people like Charlie Kirk say this rash of athletes is falling over, I don't know what that's about. I don't know. That's not a position that we're going to take on this program. It's scary, but I firmly believe it seems like it was more than likely either cardiac related or perhaps brain related. But again, we're not doctors. Who knows?
Yeah, until they put out a big definitive statement, there's really not much we can say with confidence.
Right. Until someone says, you know, it was this and that, and, you know, they've started showing clips from other times in sports when this has happened. There's a hockey clip from the late 80s, like back when they were still barely wearing helmets, like the big open ones with no face guard. And there's a guy, and he takes a puck right to the chest and immediately is falling over, basically, almost exactly like the Hamlin thing. And essentially, he suffered the same event. Like, it's a one-in-a-million shot where, you know, as the heart is on a downbeat, it's a severe impact to the chest, disrupting the heart rhythm. Which is a scary thought, that it could, that even though it's one-in-a-million, it could happen at any time. But it does very rarely happen, if that is what it is. So back to kind of the bigger picture, because while it is a human element and it is a human story, the reality is this is a Texans podcast, and only peripherally does this even really matter to us, because it's about who, ultimately that game for Texans fan was about who was making the playoffs. Which doesn't necessarily matter to us at all, I suppose. But it is, you know, the playoffs do matter. It is fun to watch them.
I was going to say, we're not even involved.
We're really not. We're a spectator. But the game has relevance. And on top of that, if you're New England, you kind of now have a pretty fair beef. Although maybe you wouldn't say that. I don't know. Because Buffalo didn't play a whole game last week. They played a quarter in 5 minutes, and then one of their players almost died, and the whole team came off the field. They're kind of really rested.
Yeah, so you have to beat them? Good job. Good luck, guys.
New England beating Buffalo already wasn't a likely scenario, but that is their path. If they don't beat New England, they don't get in. I was watching one of the guys from one of the channels break it down, and basically they have a 33% chance to get in, and the path is essentially they must beat Buffalo to make it. So, and you probably, I don't know if you're Bill Belichick, if you would ever say anything about this, because this isn't gamesmanship or anything, but there is an unfairness to it, a little bit, like...
I don't know, because you also, you'd have to be like, you'd also have to factor in, like, the mental toll that takes.
The shell shock? Yeah, no, and that is fair, and maybe you don't say anything because you're hoping they don't have the fire. Yeah.
Or like, even if you're like, oh, well, they're well rested, but are they? Because they just had like a traumatic experience. Like, you know, that's a big deal. Like that throws you off your game.
It is, and it is a mental thing. And I do always say sports is way more mental than anybody realizes. Running fast, hitting hard, and jumping high isn't all it takes to be good at sports. Because otherwise, a lot of guys would have made it that never did. Yeah, it's kind of a messy situation, and you don't want to seem like the jerk who's like, but what does it mean? But it really super matters. And let's not even get into the betting element of all of this, that there is millions of dollars in betting money floating around. It was a Monday Night Football game. It was between two teams of great relevance this year, a 12-win team and 11-win team. Also, this is just completely trivial and trash, but a lot of times bettors use the later games to clean up their week. So, like, let's say it's been a bad week all week. You missed all your Saturday games. You missed all your Sunday games. Sunday night or Monday night is where you save the week so that you don't owe the bookie anything. Or if you're way up, Monday night is when you really double, triple up. So, potentially, there was a lot of money riding on this, and I know that all of that is secondary, but that doesn't mean that it isn't relevant. And at some point, you have to start picking up the other threads and putting them back together. So I was a little surprised that Buffalo left Cincinnati Tuesday morning, and I was even more surprised that the league announced Tuesday day that they will not play the game this week at all.
The thing that I'm wondering is, like, I've never even heard of this happening before.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Were they suspended game middle?
Yeah.
Generally speaking, it doesn't. Even when there's weather, they'll sit on the sidelines for 2 or 3 hours and then go out there and play it. So, and let's be clear. An NFL player has died on the field before. They put him in an ambulance. He drove away. He perished. They finished the game. And players have been paralyzed before. There's somebody was talking about it on TV, that one of his teammates said at college, a kid got paralyzed at practice, and they just moved over to one of the other fields and kept practicing. So there is a reality, there is a precedence to this football. They were talking about how football isn't normally life or death, that everybody gets to go home. That's not really true. I mean, there's been a lot of people who've had life-altering things happen on the field. So while it was scary and while it was sudden and unexpected, and I think that's why it took everyone by such surprise, and there were so many eyes on it that everyone wanted to make sure they handled it respectfully and correctly, and I believe they did. But the truth is, I feel like there was kind of like a little bit of extra hand-holding about the whole thing.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Like, there was a little bit of extra kind of like, oh no, like, we would never want to, and I understand that everybody was trying to be respectful of the situation, because it was scary. They didn't know if this kid was going to live or die. But I also think it's kind of a surprise coming from a league. Maybe this is just a sign of how much football has changed. Because this is a league that just a few years ago, there was a college football game where on the opening kickoff, the Oregon kid gets paralyzed. And they play the game. Like, they didn't stop it. So, it was scary.
Maybe they were right the whole time. We just aren't as tough as they used to be. When they walked uphill both ways.
And you hate to agree with it because it is a bunch of dinosaurs being obnoxious. But perhaps they are correct in some avenue. Maybe football really has changed. But they'll have to come up with some sort. Here's what's crazy. During COVID, they didn't miss a single game. They rescheduled and moved them a bunch around, and they were very flexible. But they didn't miss a single game. So if they miss a game and it winds up being for an injury during play, that's surprising.
This is a strange, definitely a really kind of watershed moment, I think.
It might be. This might signal some kind of change for the NFL. Hopefully it does. Kind of keeping in line with that, before we get into the Colts-Texans matchup, the Miami Dolphins have now publicly said that Tua is not part of the quarterback equation for the finale. They are not even going to try and get him ready. I don't know if that means he is so far removed from getting out of the concussion protocols, but they've just basically said that he's on the bench there. In the meantime, though, it looks like Skylar Thompson is going to get the start.
Way to go, Skylar. You really made it.
Seventh round draft pick is going to head out there and get, I think he started one other game for them this year, but I don't have that in front of me.
I think he did before. I think the first time Tua got hurt, if I'm not mistaken.
If Teddy Bridgewater wasn't ready or something, that might be. But that's not a great sign. Oh, I think they both got hurt in the same game.
Yeah, they did. That's what it was.
That's not a great sign at all.
Tua was out, and then Bridgewater got hurt, and then they're like,
they had to send in old Skyler. Skyler is such a funny name to me because it's a story. Back in the day when me and my buddies were still in college, we got a Christmas break job, a couple of us, and we worked at a certain aimed at retail brand. I think that tells you who it is without telling you who it is. And my buddy, for whatever reason, on the application, it's all digital. So we're sitting there all doing them together and we're laughing about it on the little kiosks. And it asks him if he's ever gone by any other names. And he says, yes, I used to go by the name Skyler. That is incorrect. He's never been Skyler in his whole life. Then later on in the application, it says, do you want to be called Skyler or do you want to be called by your name? And he chose to be called by Skyler. So then, literally, he has this name tag, and there they print them. And they don't, like, do a sticker and stick it on a name tag. They, like, engrave it into the piece of plastic.
That's dedication.
Yeah. So, like, when you finish orientation, they hand you, like, a real name tag. And so his says Skyler. There was about three different times they're blowing up the radios looking for Skyler, and he and I are sitting there talking, and finally I'm like, oh, hey, you're Skyler. And he's like, oh, right, right. Then he would answer the radio call. There were times people would talk to me about Skyler, and I would go, who? And he'd be like, yeah, your buddy, the tall guy. And I was like, oh, yes, yes. You meant Skyler. Yeah, I know who we're talking about now.
I like the way they phrase it is like, did you used to go by a different name?
Yeah. And, like, and he was I did. He was like, yes, I did. And it was so dumb. So dumb. But yeah, he did. He went by Skyler. So anytime I hear the name Skyler, I always chuckle and think back to the... I mean, it was easily one of the... Working retail at Christmas is one of those things. I do think everyone should do it because I think it would teach you how to be a better person. But it would certainly also teach you that everyone else is the worst.
I think that's most jobs.
It's all the customer-facing ones. Because, like, so in our boys' chat talking about the injury, one of the... I said, there's a stadium full of people sitting there. Like, what are they... They have to come up with some kind of plan pretty quick, you know? Or they're going to lose control of 50,000 people sitting there wondering what's happening. And one of my buddies was like, people are not going to be mad. I mean, with everything going on, no one's going to be mad. I was like, I don't think you've had a customer-facing position in a long time. If you really think... No one in that stadium is gonna be mad at the fact that this guy, like, doesn't make it, or like that they don't restart the game, or they don't announce something for the game at this point.
People get mad when they can't hear ref calls. They're gonna get mad.
Yeah, they're gonna get mad. It is gonna happen. But yeah, every once in a while, it's important to remember what we do all this for: the people. So let's pivot to the Colts. It's the Wednesday edition of Battle Red Radio. That means we're going to talk a little Colts. And that means on Friday we're going to make our picks. Jeff Saturday is still the head coach.
What a legend.
However, we will not be facing Nick Foles or Matt Ryan. We will be facing their third string quarterback, Sam Ellinger.
This is either a blessing or a curse.
So if you didn't see the games, I think it was Sunday's game. Yeah, because I don't think there were any Saturday games last week. There are Saturday games this week, though. So the Colts, at one point early, it was about midway through the Giants game, Kevin Thibodeau got just a free hit on Nick Foles. Came around the outside, no one touches him, and he blows Nick Foles up. I mean... It's one of the last great sacks of football because, like, it was done correctly. There were no penalties, but he still exploded on Nick Foles. Okay, Nick Foles is laying there in serious pain, just kind of rolling around on the ground. Kayvon Thibodeau doesn't notice that, and he is doing his sack celebration, which he decides to do snow angels. So he's laying next to a rolling around Nick Foles doing his snow angels. And he does like 7 or 8 of them. He kind of does an excessive amount. I'm not going to lie. While on the ground next to him, Nick Foles is rolling around hurt. Jeff Saturday releases at the end of the game, was asked about it. And let's see here. According to ESPN, they have his quote, calling it tasteless and trash. Now, granted... It did look bad. It wasn't a great thing. I can understand that he didn't realize what was going on, and I want to give him full room for that. But yeah, Saturday said tasteless from the celebration afterward, just trash. Not a fan of it at all. Thibodeau's quote, to his credit, he says, after a sack, you celebrate. I think when I did realize he was hurt, that's when we started getting up. When you're doing the celebration, you're not looking to see who is doing what. I hope he gets well, and I hope he is all right. And I do believe that. I totally think that that's accurate. I don't begrudge him for exploding on the quarterback and then celebrating it. I think those are both fair things. What do you think?
I mean, you can 100% celebrate, but you got to have a little bit more spatial awareness. I mean, that's just a courtesy thing.
Like, there's no clip of him celebrating that doesn't include Nick Foles rolling around because they are right next to each other.
Yeah.
So, like, it is bad. It's problematic, yeah, for sure.
I mean, like, because I'm 100% on, like, on the player side of, like, no, you did something awesome. You should definitely celebrate. But, like, also, like, help the guy up. That's just sportsmanship. That's just what you do. You hit the guy really hard, you pick him up.
Blew him up, Nico. I mean, I they haven't said what the injury is, but Nick Foles said that whole side of his body is still sore. It's a good old-fashioned hit. We're talking about the new football, not anymore. Kayvon Thibodeau did not get the memo. So coming into this game, it is going to be Sam Ellinger, which is not an any other time I would be thrilled about this, but here's the problem. We really need to lose.
Yeah, that's really the issue here.
We got to lose. We need to lose to protect our number one draft pick. Because if Chicago gets the pick, more and more I'm convinced that they're not going to take a quarterback, which means they'll trade out of that spot. And more I'm convinced there are two or three teams that have multiple first-round draft picks that will make a play for that spot if it's not us. Now, personally, I don't know that I wouldn't hate trading out of the one spot if you got a bunch of picks for it, if you know what I mean, like if that made it worth it. But I also think we do need a quarterback, and I think being in the driver's seat, being in that one spot, is the best place, the best way to do that. So I think this is kind of the best way to handle the situation. Plus, we do have that the Browns pick also near the top five, depending on how it all finishes. So I'm really excited to play Sam Ellinger because I feel like this is a game that we're going to be competitive in, that we're going to do well in. He hasn't been impressive. He's played in spots here in the NFL. He played the last game of October. He played a little bit, and then I think he played all of the New England game, maybe. But it's a total so far this year: 364 yards, one touchdown, one pick, a 34.1 QBR, which goes up to like 120, I think. So not great numbers.
Just excellent. Just phenomenal.
Yeah, it definitely is sort of a messy, like, this is their way to try and lose the game, and our way to try and lose the game is going to be a little bit more difficult. Although we did do our best effort by putting most of our good players on IR, so.
That's just called intelligence.
But they haven't won a game since week 12 against the Raiders. I think that might be week 11. Week 11 or week 12, whenever they played the Raiders. They haven't won since then. So, it's been a while. I'm going to say maybe they're due. I don't know. We'll get into all the picks and all that next
show. We just
want
to lose. That's what, just say it. We just want to lose so we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, no, we absolutely do. Getting the second win was nice. Getting it against Jacksonville getting it against Tennessee was great. So having a win against Jacksonville, a win against Tennessee, a tie with Indianapolis, we really kind of handled ourselves okay in the division. I think what that means right now is we're 2-2-1 with one game to go. So if we finish 2-3-1, okay, all right, that's fine, whatever. Yeah, it's Sam Ellinger, though, not great. Their team overall, you know, everybody, I personally am of the belief that Jeff Saturday is going to try and coach to win here, because I don't think he believes in losing, and I think he wants to go out on a win, because he may never head coach again.
Yeah, see, this is, if we lose, this will be a double win for me personally, because I'm a huge Jeff Saturday fan.
If we lose or if we win?
We lose, because Jeff Saturday will get the win, okay. And then we get to keep number one draft pick.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I was like, wait, where was he going with that? Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, no, generally speaking, I would like to see the number one pick more than I would like to see a win against the Colts.
Yeah.
Now, at the very beginning of the year, when there was some chance that we could do anything and we blew the game against the Colts, of course I was mad about it. But now we're on the flip side of the whole thing. Nah, don't even try. Miss me with that.
Just because the world gets so much worse if we don't keep our pick.
Yeah, it definitely gets into a weird situation. Plus, I'm not sure where we would fall total. I mean, three. I think we would be two. But we aren't in control of the board at that point. Like, we don't know who's going to trade up, and we don't know who they're going to take. Of the quarterbacks coming into it right now, and I've really withheld backing one or the other because I want to at least get to the combine and let everybody get measured at least. But after the playoff stuff, I kind of like C.J. Stroud. I think he's playing the best football right now of any of the young quarterbacks. But I still want to get him in and get him measured and get him compared and get him on a neutral site and see. I know they won't throw and stuff like that, but you'd like to at least get him out there and have him and interview him and see what leaks about these guys. But you want to be in control of that draft board. That's the most important part. You want to have that one pick. You want to have... Having the two pick is great if you know what the other team is going to do. But because the Bears don't need a quarterback, it kind of changes the whole board. Because a trade is just as likely as a pick at that point.
Exactly. And like, we can just totally get absolutely mega thrashed by it.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is a real, real... That would be a real problem. All right, we don't want to linger on this. We don't want to drag this out too long. So we're going to jump out here. I do want to thank everybody for listening. With everything happening with Denny Hamlin and that kind of dominating the news, there's not a ton of stuff coming out. There's all kinds of playoff implications. We're going to talk about them on Friday. Different games worth watching. Kansas City doesn't have the one seed locked up in the AFC, but they're playing the Raiders. New England has to win to get in. The Sunday night game is the Packers game against the, according to Nico, imaginary Detroit Lions. If the Packers win that game, they leapfrog Seattle into the 7 seed and make the playoffs as a wild card, which Aaron Rodgers told everyone 6 weeks ago they were going to do. So there's still a lot to be determined in this season. We're going to highlight those games on Friday, on the Friday episode. But as at this point, it's not too much to get into here. We don't want to burn too much material about the matchup with the Colts because there's not a ton to say because these are two pretty bad teams meeting up on Friday. So thank you guys for listening and jump back into the Battle Red blog and click all the different articles. There's a lot of people writing some interesting stuff. A lot of the writers disagree with me on basically everything I say. So after you hear what I say, then you can go read what they say and then you can figure out how brilliant I am. Thanks for hanging out and we will be back on Friday with an action-filled episode of the Battle Red Radio.